Very pleased to be joined in the studio by Paul and Lou of Sunscreen. They've had massive anthems, Love You More, Perfect Motion, Looking At You, Pressure, became classics on the international dance scene, a total of 12 UK chart singles, award-winning two, and you really have to see the guys live. They've just done a warm-up in the studio, and Lou's voice is beautiful. You've had lots of festivals coming up, but before we talk about festivals and the new release, yeah, Tell us about how you got into music and how it all started.
It
started. I mean, we met originally because I was in a band, and we had a drummer, but we didn't have a bass player, and the drummer went to what was then Future Music Shop, which was in Chelmsford in Baddow Road, and he came back proudly one day and said, I've got a bass player for us. And he'd taken an advert off the wall, and he said, look, and it's a girl. And so he handed me the bit of paper that he'd ripped off the wall, and it didn't say bass at all, it said cello. Cello player looking for band. And so I said, well, Dan, that's not a bass, is it? And he said, yeah, but it's close enough, isn't it?
Bless.
So that's how we originally met. Yes. And started writing songs together.
We morphed into Sunscreen from that previous band. We were called Shut the Rapids before, and then Sunscreen after that. We were playing with, we changed players. We got a guitarist, Darren Woodford, a drum, Dwayne Brazier, and a bassist, Rob Fricker.
And the electro, we'd been sort of writing electro songs, or, you know, melodic songs around electro, but then when the rave thing happened, we found it just started to fit into that really quickly. And again, actually, it was another local thing, wasn't it? It was the Castle Pub up the road, Tuffalonga Road.
I think
it's called something else now. Was it the entrance where you turn left down to Sainsbury's? It's on that little roundabout right at the top by Wilson's Corner. Yeah, we did a gig there, and that was really the first break we got, because we went into the place, blacked out all the windows, put on a bit of a rave in there, and our drummer was working on the roads at the time, and a lot of his mates came up and were dancing on the tables. And we had a stroke of good luck, was that In Excess's manager had flown over from Australia, but he'd taken an early flight, and he was in London and he was bored, and someone told him about us and this gig going on, and he came down and saw it and went back and basically told everyone in the music business that it was just brilliant and they should sign us, and that's how it all
broke. So really, was that kind of like your first, that was one of the first lots of gigs you did, or was
it was about the third gig we did.
People kill for that.
I know. So it really was a stroke of luck. It was actually here in Brentwood.
What happened after that?
No, we had three different record companies wanting to sign us. There was Sony, EMI and Arista. They were all giving, you know, flying over some pizzas over for us, not flying them, but in a courier in them.
Arista started sending us pizzas every day.
I know.
Every day a different load of
bribery through pizza.
It was very funny. So
how long was it before you got, so who did you sign with, and then how long was it for the first release?
We signed with Sony and a small label in between there. It's called S Squared. Sony Squared. So
I mean, that was partly because it was run by Muff Winwood, who was a very famous A&R person at the time. So it was kind of irresistible.
Doing videos for the songs was quite interesting.
It was actually we really did get thrown in at the deep end. It was actually quite frightening. Because, like I say, that Castle gig was our third gig. We were, by the time we were signed, we'd still only done six times together, you know, which was just really quick. And so we had to kind of learn with the full glare of media on us, because, you know, we were this big signing, we were in the dance scene. It was, which was quite difficult, but it made us work hard.
Looking At You was actually written in the Shot the Rapids days, and I first sang that at the Chancellor Hall in Chelmsford in 1990. Was it something like that? He's just nodding at me.
Close enough.
So it's a very, very old song, but it was on our second album, Change or Die. It didn't really make the first album because it's not, wasn't ravey enough, if you like.
So what's it about?
Well, about losing someone either through death or and being very angry about it as well. Yeah. So you'll yeah.
And it did, yeah, it did well in America.
Yes, it did well in America.
It got to number one in the dance charts.
Wow. That was
nice.
Yeah. Have you got all the discs and stuff at home still and still got stuff? Because record companies just send out, I don't, probably still do actually, didn't they, all the gold discs or platinum discs and stuff like that?
Well, we didn't get any from sales.
No, we did, but they never gave it to us.
How rude. Somebody's probably got that, you know.
Yeah,
it's always like the record executives normally take them home. And the bands don't get them.
We're missing a lot of bits, actually. It's, it's like that advert, you know, the J.R. Hartley thing, where he's trying to find a copy of his own book.
Yeah, exactly.
We have been known to buy our own CDs on eBay.
Where's my platinum disc?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. This is Sunscreen, and this is Live. Is beautiful. You've got a beautiful tone. I love your voice. It's a lovely tone, isn't it? So the songwriting process for you guys, how does it work? I mean, I didn't realize that you actually play cello.
Yeah, it's my first instrument, really.
Yeah,
so yes, I did a music degree and I performed on the cello for that one. So it does vary. Sometimes I'll write a song, you know, on the piano or the guitar, And Paul will come in and change bits, and we argue, and then we change a bit more, and then we agree. And then sometimes Paul writes a song.
Starts it off,
and likewise. But we use guitar and piano to write with, mainly.
Yeah. Although then there's exceptions, I mean, Perfect Motion was more sort of lots of bits of ideas that we were playing live. And we knew it was going somewhere, but it wasn't really a song.
Yeah.
And that turned into a big dance track. So that was different again.
And do you experiment much? Are you writing similar stuff to when you first started out, or has it changed over the years, or...?
I think it has changed. I think we experiment a bit more and try to break away from the normal song form. Definitely we're trying to do that. So you can see our older songs are very conventional, sort of verse, chorus, middle, eight, those sort of structures.
So
we experiment more now with different styles. And
does it need to have a verse, you know, so we just have a chorus, because you've got enough instrumentation to carry it through.
What do you think about the industry at the moment?
There's a lot of music out there now, so it's really difficult to find what's good. So in a funny way, the old style of having you had to get past a record company, then you had to get DJs to play it, then record stores had to like it, otherwise they wouldn't stock it sometimes. So that kind of filtered everything out, so the really good stuff was very much in everyone's faces.
Yeah.
So it's good, and that's a slight downside, I think.
What do you prefer, the recording process, or do you prefer gigging, or is it about the same?
It's about this. It's a very different thing. It's about the same, really. Mm. Once we get stuck into recording, it can be quite exciting, but nothing is quite as exciting, stroke grueling as playing on stage and sort of keeping the energy up. But I think we really enjoy playing live the best. Festivals, I must say, have been quite stressful because sometimes you've only got 20 minutes to get on stage and set up and do a line check. So that's why, a little bit stressful.
Yeah.
A lot of waiting around, but yes, but once you're on there, it's fine.
Mm.
I mean, the people are very professional.
Now, you're going to be playing at Hotbox in Chelmsford. It's a fantastic venue. It's a skate shop during the day, and then it's a music venue during the night. And it's, if you've not been there, it's really so cool. I actually felt quite cool going in there. I've got some cred going in there. But they've actually done all the acoustics now as well. So you said the new sound system is incredible, and you've got a gig coming up there, haven't you?
Yeah. So that's
21st of this month, September.
Yeah. Mm. 2 weeks on Saturday.
Yes.
Oh. Well, we've got a couple of friends supporting. So there's an old friend of ours called Ian Faulkner, who's kind of quite famous around Chelmsford. He's a well-known music journalist and has been in a couple of great local bands. So he and some of the other well-known sort of Chelmsford guys are doing the support slot,
and they're called Speed of Life.
And then a good friend of all of ours, Steve Mortimer, is going to be DJing.
Yay! Blackchapel.
And then us. So it's a good night for sort of for local music.
Mm. And how long's your set for?
An hour and a bit.
An
hour and 50, depends how.
Long. Depends.
Once you're up there, you have to stay up there.
So at least an hour, and we're doing a full live set. Sometimes we played a big rave in Glasgow about a month ago, and that was great. But I mean, they had lots and lots of bands on, lots and lots of acts, and so we only got 15 minutes each.
Yeah.
So we played three songs. You know, some people, I think, we're a bit disappointed. You come all this way, couldn't you play more?
Traveling all that way, we drove up there as well.
Oh no!
Just 15 minutes of fame.
But that was nothing. We met a guy called Joe Smooth, who's a very famous Chicago house producer, and he'd flown over to do one song.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
you just about get going, don't you? After like three, so you're like, yeah, let's get them. Oh, that's come right, off now.
So Hot Box will be a full set, which is good.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And Martin, I have to say good morning to Martin as well, Jeffries from MJ Media, who is always promoting loads of music around Chelmsford.
Yeah, that's a great job.
He would have come in today, but he's got to do his other job.
Yes, well, we all have to do that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you're going to play another song, then we're going to talk about the new remix of an old classic, which is coming out on the 9th of September, and we're going to hear a bit of that as well at the end. But tell us about this next track, what album it's from, and what it's about.
Okay, we're going to play Looking at You. Sorry, Love You More. Sorry, Looking at You on the Brain. Love You More from a first album. Yeah, this was the song I wrote while the guys went to the pub. That's the story about it.
We came back and I went, oh, I've just done a...
Well, the funny thing was we came back and you were just like, and I said, whoa, stop right there, and switched the cassette player on so we could record it. Yeah. It then took us 9 months to finish it.
Yeah. But, as things go. You can make the sea turn turtle, but you know you can never make me love you more. You can turn wine into water, turn sadness into laughter, but you know you can never make me love you more. Let the right words die, let the sky. By the lions, but you know you can never make me love you more. You can make me dance to water, my sex I'm torn and quartered, but you know you can never make me love you more.
That they're 90% there, 95% there, but you know that something isn't quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Love and More was a good case of that, where it's sort of 90% of it was written really quite quickly.
Yeah.
But then the next 10%, and you've got to keep at it. You've got to go, I know that this bit isn't quite there.
Yeah.
You've got to keep looking, because sometimes it does take a long time.
So did you write that? Were you sitting there playing that, and then that just came in, or did you actually write that separately and go, that's going to slot in?
We were just experimenting.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm trying to do a new. Should I do something, you know?
Eventually, actually, we went to a studio studio in London called The Strong Run.
Yeah.
And we spent a day there sort of remixing the track and just playing with it and recording lots and lots and lots and lots of ideas and bits in order to get that final bit. And then we listened back to all of it at home and went, hang on, that's it.
Now you've got a new remix of an old classic coming out on the 9th of September, Paul and Lou, so tell us about that.
Yes, that's Perfect Motion.
Which is quite a different track for us, because that's been very successful for us in the clubs.
Mm.
And so most people from that era who were out clubbing know this particular track. And it has been remixed a few times, but this is a new remix of it. And it's with a friend called Paul Sawyer, who we met through a mutual friend.
That's right.
And then by chance, we were doing a gig with him. We were doing a gig down on the South Coast at a festival earlier this year. And we found out that it's the town where Paul lives.
Yeah, so he came to see us.
So he came along to see us.
Yeah.
And I said, this is such a ridiculous coincidence. I mean, no one would live in a town like this, surely. It's quite obscure little festival. So we decided that clearly meant it was supposed to happen, so we got on and did this remix, or he got on and did this remix.
And so it's out on the 9th?
Yes.
Are
to do a live video, hopefully, at the YouTube studios in London at the beginning of October. But as far as putting out videos... They take a lot of time and money when you don't have a record company.
It was all very fine
when someone else was paying for it.
We hadn't actually thought of that. That's why you caught us out with that.
Sorry,
that's a good point. Do you think we've got time? It's out on Monday.
Well, I've just videoed you in the studio. You can use that if you like. While you weren't watching me, I just like to video guests.
Yeah.
Really, I'm a bit creepy like that.
That's right. Yeah, we still, when we do albums, we still make physical CDs. There's not many people buy them now, but the ones who do like you to do them, it's somehow still, it feels like it's that you've done an album when you've actually got something physical.
You've got the artwork as well, haven't you? The picture and all, little thank yous and stuff, and you can't really.
It's almost like the currency of you've done it, even if not many people actually use them now.
So after Hotbox, what's coming up for you for the rest of the year?
I'll be playing down in Lewis on the 19th. Of October as well.
Yeah.
And that will be the last gig of the year, as far as I know. So I'll be back in the studio, start writing, arranging stuff. I've got a few things on. We've got a few things on the back burner.
Yes. So. Not videos, though. That's
no
definitely
videos.
Lou's going, no videos. I've never seen somebody go, no videos.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think it must be quite, because you've done lots of video. It must be quite nerve-wracking standing at the front where you've got your track playing in the background, you've got a mime to what you're doing, and you've got loads of lights. And especially after you'd only done those first couple of gigs before you kind of got the record contract, you must have been frightened for your life.
I was, and TV, unbelievably frightening.
Live TV, that was terrifying.
What shows did you do?
The Word. And an American show called the Arsenio Hall show, that was live.
That was after we'd just finished a tour out there, though, and we were we were very confident.
And that was
great, wasn't it? Because that was totally live, broadcast across America, and it was a big Saturday night primetime show.
And have you seen that on YouTube? Have you found it? Or?
Do you know, unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be up on YouTube.
You can get all the Top of the Pops
stuff. Which is a shame. We've got all the Top of the Pops stuff up on YouTube. But not the Arsenio Hall.
No.
Which is a pity, because we, just before we played, we had our crew hand out those glasses to all the audience in the studio, the ones that make all the
prism glasses
make everything go psychedelic.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans round at the audience, and they're all wearing these glasses, which looked very funny, didn't it?
It's probably out there somewhere. Now this next tune, this is the remix, which is out on Monday. You can get it on download. Don't forget to go and have a check out as well.
Actually, the CD I've given you isn't the remix.
Oh
no.
Oh dear.
Well,
you'll have to buy it then. If you want to hear it, you'll have to buy it.
Yeah.
But so the track that's out on Monday is
Perfect Motion.
Perfect Motion, and the one we're going to end on now
is called Here's the Summer.